Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Appreciate the good song service this morning and the prayer and what Brother Dan had to say. That's one of my favorite psalms, certainly a psalm of encouragement for us to stay close to the Lord, His house, and His Word. My thoughts this week, meditations, have been on the subject of hope. You know, hope is something that's very important to all of us. I was thinking about the strength that we gain from having a little bit of hope. Some of the weakest people or most discouraged people are people who have no hope. And I've said many times from this pulpit that I believe that many times people who take their own lives are people who have lost all hope for anything to be good anymore in their life. David in the Psalms wrote more about hope than any other writer in the Bible. He went through many trials in his life. He made a lot of mistakes, and you can just see his experiences as he writes, and it's amazing some of the things that David writes about concerning hope that we can identify our own lives with David and some of the trials and the things that he went through. That's why it's so good to read the Psalms, because we find ourselves in the midst of those pages of David's thoughts, his musings, and something that we all need, especially this time of the year. Sometimes this time of the year can be very discouraging for us. We may have lost a loved one during the year or gone through a tragedy during the year. And here we come, we've got the holidays in front of us, and we see other families. They're all together, they're celebrating, and they're with their children, their grandchildren, or their spouse. And sometimes we look around and we feel to be alone and we feel to be without hope. But it's something that's very, very important for us every single day. I think it's the thing that makes it worth getting up every day, that we have a little bit of hope. It helps us to get up and get going, or have some hope for tomorrow or hope for better things in our lives. And it's a motivator. It helps us to keep on trying to pursue the things that are before us and to enjoy the blessings that we have at hand. One thing is that we know that we have a God that loves us. And the God that loves us is a God of hope, isn't He? That should be the source of our hope, is knowing that He is there and He loves us. The best definition of hope that I've ever heard is the joyful anticipation of something good. In other words, there's something good out there and we joyfully anticipate the fruition of that. And we know that anything that God promises is going to come to pass, so we can actually expect it. There are some things that we hope for that we're quite unsure of. I preached not too long ago about having a little hope and also having a great hope. And the things that God has specifically promised in His Word, then we can have great hope for those things. We can expect them to come to pass, and we'll look at some of those in just a moment. But there may be a lot of things that you pray for that, you know, you don't have a lot of hope for, but yet you have a little hope about it. You're praying to God for it, and you read about all the great miracles that Jesus Christ performed in the Scriptures, and you see Him doing those things for other people. And so we have a hope in our heart as we pray for these things that the Lord will answer our prayer, and we'll see the fruition of that hope that we have in our heart. I remember a man coming to this church many years ago. Marilyn and I had just joined the church, and he was talking about the subject of hope, about it being the joyful anticipation of something good. And he used a wonderful illustration. I'm going to steal it this morning. I probably have given it to you before. But he said, when my brother and I were very small boys, my father took us to the store. And it reminded me of the old Western Auto stores where they had a lot of the toys and stuff up on that shelf up there. You couldn't reach it. But he said there was a red wagon up there. And he said, my brother and I, we really wanted that red wagon. And he said, my dad that day promised that he was going to buy us that red wagon. And he said, I began to joyfully anticipate having that red wagon. And my brother and I talked about it. And he said, every night when I went to bed, I'd lay there and I would think about all the things I was going to do with that red wagon. He said, I envisioned me and my brother getting on that red wagon and riding down a hill. Me pulling him, him pulling me, hooking it up to the dog, letting the dog pull us, the things we're going to carry around on that red wagon. He said, by the time I got that red wagon, he said, I'd already enjoyed it for a long time. Right. Well, you see, that's the way hope is. It's a joyful anticipation of something that is good. If God's promised it, then we can begin to enjoy it. That's what's called an inheritance that we have today, that we can begin to anticipate and enjoy the things that God has promised to us. And I know every one of you out there this morning, you have a red wagon. You have some things in your own life that you pray for. And you imagine, you know, what it's going to be like when that prayer becomes reality in your life and you're able to have that thing. And it's nothing wrong with going in your mind and thinking about that thing that you want and that thing that you have a great hope for. Well, let's look at Psalms 43 and 5. And let's look at David, something that he wrote about hope. Let's get over here to Psalms 43. This is the last verse of Psalms 43. And as I mentioned, David wrote more about hope than any other person. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." David's source of hope was not a person. It was not somebody that was a friend. It wasn't the stock market or politicians or any other thing. David's hope was in God alone. And I think sometimes that is something that we forget about. As Dan mentioned, you know, the Lord is the one that we should have our hope in. He's something that doesn't change. People change. Circumstances change. But our hope, if it's in God, then we know we're hoping in something that is constant. And I love this psalm because I want you to see what David does. He asks this question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Now, this is a common experience for God's people, to be cast down. I've told you this before, that it's not uncommon for people to be depressed or cast down. Sometimes you go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Are you ever depressed?" Well, you'd be lying if you said no. Every one of God's children walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They all get depressed. But, you know, sometimes the medical profession has made it out to a sin. Are there something wrong with you if you're depressed? Well, I tell people, if you're depressed and cast down, then that's normal. Why wouldn't you be depressed and cast down? Because we're sinners. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do. We have thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking. And so we're prone to be in the valley of the shadow of death. We're prone to be depressed. So you're just a normal Christian if you're not depressed from time to time. We're singing songs in our songbook that talk about people who are depressed and cast down. I like some of the songs, you know. This one of the songs says, "I don't even know if I'm a child of God or not sometimes, but for the things that I think about and the things that I do." You know, I can identify with these songs that talk about these pilgrims. We're just pilgrims and strangers down here, and we find ourselves to be quite uncomfortable with the world that is around us. And so we're expected to be cast down. But David's asking himself this question. He's talking to himself. You know, and that's what we do as Christians. You know, we talk back and forth to ourselves. And he says, "Why am I cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" Now, David in this particular psalm begins to search his heart. And he does some inner searching to find out what is going on within himself. If you look back in the previous psalm, he asks the same question in verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" And he says, "Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." In this particular psalm, David is looking within himself. And in another psalm, he's in the middle of the night and he's searching in his own heart the reason for the source of his sorrow and why he's so cast down. And I believe this is a Christian discipline that we should think about. A lot of times we're actually doing it, but we don't realize that it is a quick Christian discipline that we should look within our own heart and our own soul, and we should think about why we are cast down. Why am I depressed? What is the source of me being cast down today? Why am I going about depressed and sad and without hope in my own heart? And so when we do this, then we find ourselves being honest with ourselves and with God. A lot of times we're not honest with ourselves and we don't even realize that we're not being honest with ourselves, because we don't take the time to look within our own heart and within our own soul to try to figure out why we are in the shape that we're in, or why we're cast down, or why we are without hope. And so I love it when David does this. It brings us to an accurate assessment of ourselves, of God, and of His power. And that's what David is doing. He's going through these musings in his own heart. And I think that this is a discipline that only God's people have. You know, only God's people have the ability to search within their own heart and to find things that are not right and things that are causing them problems. A lot of times people will go to a psychiatrist or something and they want to know the answer to their problem when their answer is within their own selves. And I've said many times, if people would come to church on a regular basis, they wouldn't need to be going to people to get counsel, secular counsel. A lot of times you get the answers to your questions by being in God's house, by reading the Word of God. And the Word of God itself has a way of searching your own heart, doesn't it? Many times you're reading the Scriptures and you'll find that the Scriptures have already searched your heart out and they've exposed something that is not right. It's like a tune-up. You get this soul tune-up when you're reading the Word of God. And sometimes I get that when I'm singing the songs of Zion. I'm here and I'm singing a song and it reminds me of something that kind of tunes me up for a little while and it puts a finger on the source of my problem and that I've been without hope. And here I find something that has helped me in my lives. And so David in this psalm comes to this assessment. Oh, by the way, I shall yet praise Him, he says, who is the health of my countenance. So he comes back to God and he realizes that this is where he fell off the dock, you know, as he forgot the source of his hope, who is God. He's been looking everywhere else. And he realized, oh, well, this is where my hope should be. I want you to notice the difference here, though, in two of these verses here in Psalms 42 and 43. In Psalms 42, he says, for the help of his countenance. So David says, the Lord is the help of his countenance. And so, and then in verse 43, he says, he's the health of my countenance. Now, the word countenance means your face. In other words, it's how you look. And you can tell when people are without hope. You can tell when people are cast down just by looking at them sometimes. Especially if you're very well acquainted with a person. You can, your husband or wife, you might know when you look at your wife or your husband when they come in from work or sometimes during the day, if there's something going on, if there's something wrong. This last week I was down at the deer camp and the doctor put me on some new blood pressure medicine. And they over-medicated me, and I could hardly stand up. And I was walking around, and one of my friends said, is something wrong? Are you okay? He could tell that my countenance had changed. Well, there was something wrong. I could hardly stand up. I was so dizzy. And I told him what the problem was. But I appreciated him being a good enough friend to ask me if there was something wrong. And, you know, that's good for us when we see somebody and their countenance doesn't look right and we want to ask them. Now, there are some people, if you ask them, they'll tell you something every 5 seconds. They constantly have something wrong and they never quit talking about it. But, you know, there are times that we want to engage with our husband, our wives, people we love, and we want to know about their countenance and why they're cast down and we want to encourage them, give them some hope along the way. Well, David here, he says two things. In the first one, he said, you're the for the help of his countenance. And so the Lord's countenance can help us just knowing that he's there, that he loves, that he cares for us. And it helps our countenance as well when we see the Lord as the source of our hope. But notice over here in verse 5, he is the health of my countenance. And so the Lord giving us hope and trusting in him helps our countenance. People can look at us and see that we have a healthy countenance. I know some doctors, when they walk, they've told me, the pediatricians especially, when they walk into a room and they look at a child laying in the bed, they know immediately by the countenance of that child if that child is sick or if that child is healthy, if the child's better than they were the day before, just by their countenance. And so our countenance, some people can look at our countenance and they can tell if we're without hope in our lives. And I want people to look at me and I want them to see a person who has hope because they know I'm a Christian. And I want them to know that I have a great God. I serve a great God. I love a great God. And I want them to know that being a Christian is something that is healthy for my countenance. It's something that gives me hope and strength every day. What would you do in your life if you did not have God as the hope of your countenance? If you didn't have any hope at all, that the Lord wasn't there to lift you up and give you strength. So David finds the Lord being this hope of his countenance and health of his countenance. In Judges 5:16, we find this mention about the searching of our heart. This is a time when Israel had departed from God and the Canaanites had come in. And it was during the Judges, of course. We know that Israel went back and forth with God. They would sin, as Dan preached this morning, that they would have all these blessings at hand and they forgot the person that gave them their blessings. And so these countries around them would come in and take it all away. Well, this was during the time that Deborah, the only female judge that we know of in the Old Testament, that she judged Israel for a little while, and the Canaanites had come in and taken this away. And her and Barak, they won a great battle over the Canaanites and brought the things back, and they were blessed again. But that when they did that, it caused people to really search in their own heart and come to this conclusion as to why all of this happened to them. In Judges 5:16, it says, "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds? To hear the bleatings of the flock. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart." And it's good for us at times, you know, when we're going, when we see God bless us, or God does something good for us, a miracle happens around us. It causes us to look within our own heart and begin to search within and to find out why all this happened. You know, sometimes if we'll do some searching in our own heart, we might find why some things happen to us in our life, some bad things. And we might be able to put our finger on something that we're doing that's causing the problem. You know, some people go through the same thing over and over and over again in their life. They keep making the same mistakes. They keep falling in the same pitfalls. And the reason is because they failed to look within their own heart and do this searching and find the source of this thing, get to it, and deal with it as we should in an honest way by searching in our own heart. And that's what Israel did. They found the source of, sometimes we find the source of our sorrow, what's bothering us on the inside, and sometimes the solution to the problem that we're dealing with by looking in our own heart and searching it. So the Lord is the help of David's countenance, the health of his countenance. And so he received a great blessing by remembering that God was a God that he should have his hope in. You know, it is a sad thing when people have no hope. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who have no hope, but there are some that we know that they have walked away from God or away from his house. And I know people that have walked away from the house of God and from the Lord himself. And they're very sad people. You see them and they're out in the world and they're trying to find some source of joy that the world cannot provide. Did you know that you cannot get in the world what God gives you in his house or from his word? There is no way that you can replace that. We can try and substitute it with material things or with worldly things. And it's nothing wrong with having some material things. I mean, that's what we work for. It's nothing wrong with purchasing things that you come by honestly to enjoy those things. But we have to remember that they will never give us that hope and that joy that we find in the person of the Lord and in his house. In Psalms 146, David writes, "Happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever." Now, when David writes of hope sometimes, a lot of times you'll find him mentioning that God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. And the reason that David throws that out there is because he might be musing in his own heart, "Well, this thing I hope for is really too big for God to fix." You know, have you ever thought about that? You know, I'm hoping for something, but this is really too big. You know, God really can't do this. But you know what? David goes to this thing and he says, "Well, by the way, God did create everything out of nothing. He just spoke it into existence. So if God did that, isn't this problem really smaller than that?" Can't God take care of this? You know, that's what we have to come to and realize, that God is capable of taking care of this thing that we're hoping for. Job got to that place in his life when he had lost his children and his wife said, "Curse God and die." He lost all of his possessions and he lost his health. And David and Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. What a sad day. I've spent some days without hope in my life. I've had some dark times I've gone through in my life and had some days that there was no hope in my life. And, you know, you think about it. Well, I may as well just end this life. I mean, you know, people do think about suicide. I mean, when it's just that bad, that's not an unhealthy thought. You know, when you think about what a great sinner you are, why wouldn't you want to get rid of yourself? But, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to have some hope, to realize that He is a God of hope, that your life is worth living, that He's put you here for a purpose, and that He's going to make things good for you in your life. You have to keep hoping for that. When you read the New Testament and all through the Bible, you realize that every person that brought their son, their daughter, their loved one to Jesus Christ brought that person to Him in hope. It's what gave them the strength to get there. They believed in Him. They believed that He could do it. Why would anybody bring their son, their daughter, their loved one to Jesus Christ if they didn't have hope that He would be able to take care of the present problem that they were dealing with? One of the ones that I thought about, there's a lot of them we could look at this morning, but one of the ones I thought about this morning was found in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. And it's the Syrophoenician woman who brought her daughter to Jesus. And I love what she said in the very beginning when she brought him and brought her in hope. She said, "Have mercy on me." Now, when you're praying or you're bringing somebody, and by the way, every time you come to Jesus in prayer and you're praying to the Lord, you're actually bringing that person to Jesus, right? I mean, we don't physically, He's not sitting over here and I'm going to physically take somebody to Him, although He is everywhere, and I pray today that He is with us. But when you take your loved one in prayer to the Lord, it's the same as how they brought theirs to Jesus. And so we're taking them there. But he says, have mercy on me. She was suffering. You know, when we're praying for somebody else, why would you be praying for somebody else if you weren't the one that was suffering over it? And the Lord knows that. He knows, and you know, this woman's daughter is vexed with the devil. Well, the girl probably doesn't need, she's out of her mind anyway. I mean, she's in bad shape. But she probably doesn't even know she's in bad shape. And sometimes the people that we're praying for are in bad shape, but they don't even know they're in bad shape. But we're in bad shape because of the person we love is in bad shape. You understand? And so when we're praying for the Lord to have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm the one suffering here. This girl, I love her. She's very special to me. It's tearing out my heart to see this devil in her, to see this devil in her, tearing her apart, throwing her down. One father brought his son to Jesus, and he was vexed with the devil, and he's throwing himself into the fire and then into the water. Can you imagine being a parent and loving a child very much, a young child, and seeing that child throw itself into the fire and then throwing itself into the water, the torment that was in the soul of this father that brought his son to Jesus? And so she's bringing her daughter to Jesus and says, have mercy on me. I need some mercy in this. It's tearing my soul apart to see my son, my daughter in this shape. And it says her daughter was vexed with the devil, and the disciples discouraged her. They looked at Jesus and they said, send her away. You know, sometimes when we're praying and we're without hope and we're trying to get a little bit of hope, people can discourage us. Did you ever have anybody discourage you when you were hoping for something and that's not going to happen. You know, forget that. That'll never happen. You know, I've had people tell me that. You know, Job's miserable comforters. They came to Job and they didn't say, well, God is great. You know, He's going to think things are going to be all right. They just looked at Job and said, no, this is hopeless. You know, what have you done, Job? You deserve all this. You're just a big sinner. You know, don't hope in God anymore. But people can discourage us. And they said, send her away like she was just nothing and nobody. You know, there's nobody that's nothing and nobody to God. He loves all of His children. And when we approach the throne of grace, we never need to go to the throne of grace thinking that we're nothing and nobody. We're something in His sight. We're precious jewels that He wears upon His breastplate. He loves us. He calls us by name. He loves every one of His sheep. Amen. And He cares when you're hurting. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, At first, she got a no, right? Oh, don't worry about that. She got a no, too. She got a no at first. Well, don't quit praying about it, you know. She comes back again, and so she begins to beg. You know, that's now it's time to beg. You got a no, now start begging. There's nothing wrong with begging. I mean, I wouldn't want to beg out on the street and not have a job. But, you know, if I didn't have a job, couldn't get a job, I might beg. You know, if I was starving to death, I might stand on the corner myself and start begging. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with begging Jesus when we first get a no. And that's what she does. She begins to beg. But she begged in hope because she knew he could do it. She knew that he was capable of it. You know, sometimes there may be a sin in somebody's life. And this sin continues to come up before them. And they don't want to think about this sin. They don't want to be involved in this sin, but it keeps coming up. Well, start begging. God, take this from me. Take this sin from me. Take this desire from me. Take whatever it is that's causing me this pain. Search in your heart and see what it is. And then start asking God. Well, she began to beg and hope. And Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into dogs. So basically, he called her a dog. She was a Gentile, by the way. That's what the reference was. But, I mean, he didn't have great words to say about it. Well, he may not say good things about us. I mean, if he looked at me and my sin, I'm asking him for something. He could basically call me a dog and he wouldn't be lying, you know, because I don't deserve anything. You know, it's a good thing about it is when you're praying, don't go at it like I deserve something or I've got to get these good works involved in this thing. You know, just go at it like you're a dog. You're nobody. And then begin to beg. Then now you got yourself on the right platform. You begin to pray and beg, and you got yourself down low enough, and maybe the Lord will answer your prayer. And so she continues to beg, but she agreed with the Lord. She said, "Truth, Lord, I am a dog, but dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." I love her reasoning. You know, I'm worth nothing. I'm just a sinner. But you know, you've helped sinners before, and that's all I am. I'm just coming as a sinner. So, would you please bless me? And she said, "He says, great is thy faith." And he healed her daughter. You know, faith is the substance of things what hope for. Amen. There she had the hope. She had the faith that Jesus could do it. She comes in faith and in hope, and the Lord heals her daughter. She anticipated something good from Jesus. There was another one that I loved, and it was the woman who had the issue of blood. The Bible says that she had this issue of blood for 12 years, and she spent all of her living upon physicians and doctors, and nobody could heal her. You know, that just reminds me of us sometimes. We try to fix everything without the Lord. And you can spend all of your substance and time and effort, and nothing's going to happen until you get to the master physician, who is the person of Jesus Christ. And I love her coming to Jesus in hope. There was a throng of people around Jesus. You could hardly get to him. And finally, she makes her way through the crowd. And if you can imagine, with an issue of blood being out in the public and trying to get through all of these people, the great hope that she must have had to get to him. And she touched him. And when she touched him, the issue of blood, it says, stanched or stopped. And she was healed that very moment. You know, sometimes it seems hard to get to Jesus, doesn't it? To get there with your prayers and your requests. You know, but if we can just get there, we can just get there and touch him, then we can get our prayer answered from him. Now, there's some things that I've already mentioned in the Bible that are promised that we can really count on. We can expect them. It's like the red wagon. I mean, if the Father promised that red wagon to the Son, then he knew that he was going to get that red wagon. And so I like looking at some of the scriptures that give us some of those things that we can expect. And some of you already know these things because you may not have thought about it. But I like what I read this week is what Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 1 and 15. He said, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And he's reminding them of a hope that I believe every one of God's children have in their heart. And that's the hope that's laid up before you in heaven. In other words, it's heaven itself, and that one day we are all going to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we're cast down and when we're without hope, that's one of the best things you can think about. Because we know that we're not all going to be here forever, right? We're all going to be there one day. And it's something like that red wagon. We can get it down and we can, in our minds, we can go to bed at night. And when we're laying there on our pillow, we can begin to think about all the things that are contained within that hope that is set before us in heaven. Did you ever think about those things? You know, it's good to anticipate it, to enjoy it before it happens. And sometimes I begin to joyfully anticipate it. And I think about what all is going to be there. I think about what's going to happen when I die. And how about Lazarus and how the angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of Jesus Christ. That when I die, that suddenly there's going to be these angels. I've never seen an angel, but I'm looking forward to seeing one. But you know what? I expect it. I'm going to see an angel one day, right? I expect to see those angels come. And I expect to be escorted by those angels into the presence of God. And when I get there, after I've even seen that, I'm going to see even greater things. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see the disembodied souls of the saints of God. Some people have this idea of heaven that when you get there, you're just going to be something electronic floating around with no body or anything, you know, with no substance, or you don't even know who you are. You're just going to be happy. Well, how can you be happy if you don't even know who you are? I'm trying to think, how can we be in perfect bliss if we don't even know that we're there? I mean, you got to know you're there. And if you know you're there, then, you know, you're in heaven and there's no problems. But you're going to get to see your loved ones that have parted. You're going to get to see your family members that have parted. You're going to get to see other members of the church that have departed. You're going to get to see the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. You're going to get to see Moses, Abraham. You know, you're going to get to talk about those things, I believe. I believe you're going to be informed. There's questions out of God about the Word of God and about things. I want to meet some of these people. I've read about them. If you ever read about somebody and finally you get to meet that person in person? You know, you read about somebody that's maybe famous and you're thinking, man, that person's going to be up at Little Rock. And I've been invited. And I'm going to get to meet that person. And I'm going to get to talk to that person. I get to, you know, I've thought about some of these guys that played music in the 60s. I thought, you know, I'd like to meet them and just find out, how did you get to where you were? What happened in your life? Sometimes we watch documentaries on people. And, you know, it's almost like you get to meet them. They talk about how they got to where they are. But, you know, you don't get to engage with them in conversation. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get to engage in conversation. We're going to know people. I do believe the greatest thing there, though, is going to be the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be there. And we can talk about all these other things, but the hope in heaven is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get to be there with Him. We're going to get to see Him in a very special way, to know that He died for us upon the cross of Calvary. We might want to ask Him, why did you die for me? Why did you choose me, Lord? Why do you love me anyways? I'd like to know something. Sometimes you might ask your husband or your wife, why do you love me? You know, you might not get an answer, but anyway, the Lord, I think, has got one. The Lord loves His people with a very special love. And so, you know, that's the hope that's laid up before us, isn't it? And whether you realize it or not, a lot of times you're thinking about that. You know, it gives you a comfort in that hope that sometimes we take for granted. You know, we don't think about it sometimes. But, I mean, how would you feel today if you thought that what you had down here was all you were going to ever have? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, if in this life we have hope, we're of all men most miserable, right? If all we had was down here and everything we could accumulate by working and gaining money and buying things, and that's all you're going to ever have, and there's nothing after death, you're a miserable first. We're of all men most miserable. And one of the reasons that we're more miserable than anybody else is because we're not going to do the things that other people are doing down here to have fun. You know what I mean? Engaged in sinful activity, you know, that's just short-lived. It's the pleasure of sin for a season.
That's right.
But we know there's something better that we have a hope in, that we're going to be with the Lord one day. in Titus 1 and 2, the apostle writes to Titus, in hope of eternal life. Eternal life. That means that this is not all there is. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's a promise that God made that you can count on, and that is eternal life. Well, I trust that you've gained a little hope this morning and that you'll remember who the source of your hope is, who is God, and that we will remember to do some inner searching of our own heart when we're cast down, when we're without hope, we're depressed, we're going through trials, to look inside and find what's going on, but remember our hope should be in God.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.